He is the Most High God, higher or greater than any other so-called God, can do higher or greater things. His power is higher or above the other powers, whether it be of man or the power of a sickness or the power of the devil. So he is the Most High God. He is the High and the Holy One. And why don't we praise him another time? He's been high in your life. God, you have carried us above the fray and above the difficulty. And we have seen you high and lifted up. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. In the midst of a difficult time for Isaiah, he used that description of the Lord. He said, I saw him high and lifted up. And just to know that he's a high or a higher God among the things that are going on around us and greater than those things, that's a comfort. It's an encouragement because we know that God is above it all. Thank the Lord for his goodness to us. We're continuing in this theme of the miraculous. And if you did not as yet receive a lesson sheet, if you'll just lift your hand and ushers will make sure that you get that. And there's also a little card along with that tonight, a prayer point card to assist us in praying for the miraculous. I definitely felt led to continue the theme of the miraculous in this vein of how do we pray when we want to see the miracles? And I want to tell you that these prayer points will work because they are biblical. They are Bible. To be honest with you, I researched for different listings and articles about how to pray for the miraculous. And there were some that attended to that, but I couldn't come up with just a little checklist of Bible directives. And so I did something unique. I went to the Bible. And said, what do you say, God, about how we should pray? And it's on that basis that I made that statement earlier. It's not because it's my Bible study, but because it's biblical. This will work. These points will work, and it's one of the reasons that I had Christy make up this little prayer card so that it could be of practical use to you should you choose that to just incorporate this as we believe. And I know that all of us want to see the miraculous. We do want to see it in the lives of others. We want to see it in the needs that we have. And we often say sometimes about our situations, that's going to take a miracle. Well, that's our view of it, and it's probably the truth in many cases. But we've got a miracle-working God. And we've got the miracle instructions in the Word of God, and there is power in the Word of God. And that's why when we use His Word as our directives, whether it's praying about the miraculous or trying to live overcoming for Him, these things will work. And so from Luke chapter 11, the disciples, when they came to a certain place, they saw Jesus praying, and they made this request, and it's recorded in verse 1, Lord, teach us to pray. And evidently, John the Baptist had focused on and taught those that were following him how to pray. So both he and Jesus thought prayer was important enough that they took the time to teach their disciples. And I know that we depend on the Spirit, and the Spirit has to lead us. And I guess I may have even said it. Maybe folks have said it. I don't want anybody teaching me how to pray. I just want to follow the Spirit. Well, I think I understand what folks mean when they say that. But evidently, there are some things to be taught and learned. And it can be done in a teaching setting by a teacher that founds their basis and their truths on the Word of God. And so We want to know how to pray, and in this case, for the miraculous. In Acts 4, 29 and 30, this is a setting, and they are in the midst of praying. We're going to pick up in the middle of the apostles' prayer, and they're praying in that New Testament church in verse 29. Now, Lord, look on their threats, and truth was being threatened, and their values and the Bible as they had it was being threatened, and grant to your servants that with all boldness we may speak your word. And then they said, another request they asked was, Lord, stretch out your hand to heal. Here's miraculous. And that signs and wonders are the miraculous may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. So now there are several of these points wrapped into these two verses. We won't take them now. We'll take them as we go through them. First of all, how we view prayer will determine how we pray and whether we pray effectively and how much we pray. It is important that we see prayer as a child of God. And for to be an overcomer, it's important that we see prayer as essential, important, and necessary. Luke chapter 18, men ought always to pray, Jesus said. In Luke 21, 36, he said, watch ye therefore and pray always. Those are just a few of the instances where Jesus emphasized prayer. Paul did in Romans 12, he said, continuing instant are continuously in prayer. Paul said in Ephesians 6:18, praying always, and in the Colossians, continue in prayer. And then the familiar Thessalonians verse, pray without ceasing. The key theme of all of these verses is consistent. Consistent daily prayer. In other words, it's important, it's essential. Somebody called it the breath of the soul. In other words, as important as oxygen has been for us today and is to us right now as we breathe in that oxygen and out the dioxide, as important as that oxygen is, that's how important prayer is in our lives. I know it's very easy, and all of us can slip into this, to see prayer as only a duty are as only a something on the Christian's checklist, but it is very essential, and it is about relationship with the Lord. I want to try to help correct one view that I have heard, maybe even had it myself at times, where someone has said, well, you know, if I don't feel like praying, I won't get anything out of it, so why even try to pray? But we understand and operate by the concept of necessity in every area of our life. So a good question to ask ourselves is, have I always felt like mowing the lawn? Have I always felt like doing the laundry? Have I always felt like washing the car or whatever, or going to work? Well, you went to work anyway. And sure enough, at the pay period, whenever that was, there was a check for all the hours worked, including the day you didn't feel like going. So there is payment for the times when we may not even feel like it. Now here's what we know. God is much fairer than any employer. So there is a reward for prayer, even for prayer when we do not feel like it. I want to tell you, there's been a lot of powerful prayers, and God has taken notice of a lot of prayers when you didn't feel like it or when others didn't feel like it. So we should not use that as an excuse of, well, I won't pray now or today because I really don't feel it. I'll venture to say 50% or maybe most of the time, you and I will have to be intentional about prayer. We won't go to our knees or go into our prayer place just already feeling and speaking in tongues. we will most likely have to make our way there and make a time of prayer. But if we see it as essential, like we see needing to get that paycheck and going to the job or any other responsibility, if we see it as necessary and essential, we will do that. And also, what helps us to see it as a relationship. See prayer and our association with God as a relationship. Not just a regimen or a ritual, a relationship. Somebody said, here's what prayer is like. It's communication, man communicating with God. It's like a child talking to its parent. It's a friend conversing with a friend. It's the bride spending time with the bridegroom. All of that is what prayer is. I just wish in my mind, in the minds of others, I could just do away with or blast away those other concepts. Oh, it's just 30 minutes, or it's just something I have to do, or I need to check it off of my, or because somebody expects us, or because Pastor taught on it Wednesday night, or I feel pressure about that. But more than that, it's a relationship. It's talking to the one that we love, similar to the way we have relationships here, and we want to converse and communicate and talk to and hear from the one that we are in relationship with. So prayer is relationship with God. Now, praying for the miraculous. First of all, it's important, if we will see the miraculous, is that we pray the will of God. Pray the will of God in the request or the situation. I'm not going to ask you to lift your hand on this, but I do want to pose the question for you to answer within yourself. How many of you have a need for a miracle in a situation? Okay? I just want you to think about that. Is there a need for the miraculous? Now, if there is, this first point is important, that we pray the will of God. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14 says, this is the confidence. In other words, we can be confident about this as we approach God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. If, in other words, that hearing referred to there is a hearing with a willingness to respond. Now, God hears everything. Of course, He's just all-knowing and omniscient. But this hearing here is, hears it and wants to respond to it. So if we ask anything and according to His will. So pray the will of God in that situation that you have. Praying otherwise is ineffective, no matter how right it may sound to us. Here's a good question to ask ourselves. How often during my times of prayer do we ask God, God, what do you want in this matter? We are very quick many times to tell God, and He can read this in our thoughts, but He also hears us say it, this is what I want to see. But a front porch to that would be good. And God doesn't mind us speaking our desires. I'm not teaching that at all. He wants us to. But the important first front porch is, God, what do you want in this matter? In other words, that's praying the will of God. God, what do you want me to pray for today? And the more we seek His heart, the more we will find His will. And in the end, we're going to achieve greater results, because that's not being about us. It's nothing of ourselves that we have prayed or we have done. One of the things that we can do, and I put it here in the notes, is this is about just check your motives. Check your motives in your prayer. And you don't have to be fearful to do this. As you prepare to ask and request of Him, okay, do I want what I want, or do I want what you want, God? That's an important question. I think there's been times when we have been frustrated because we prayed and didn't see an answer, but that answer wasn't according to the will of God. And He did not answer because it wasn't His will, perhaps because he had something different and many times maybe better for us later on. But if we pray the will of God and say, God, I want what you want. And if we want to have those greater works that Jesus talked about in various places, if you and I want to be a point of release, and I think we do, and I know we do, we want to be a point of release for the miraculous, then what we need to do is get God's perspective. And evidently, I want to stop here and say, evidently this is happening in your prayer life because we are having several miracles to happen amongst our church family and the prayer requests we are praying about. And so I know already that these things that I'm going to list tonight, you are already praying that way. I just want to reaffirm this tonight and assure you of the right way that you are praying. But we want to be that point of release for the miraculous. So if we get God's perspective, and we don't have to be afraid of God's perspective. God, what do you want? Because we trust him. We just saying that. We do trust him. We know he wants what's best. So why not say, God, what is your best? What do you want? What do you want? And it's only human nature. We know what we want. But how many of us have figured out that sometimes what we want is not what's best? And there's been many times when we've prayed a prayer, and later on we said, man, I'm glad he didn't answer that one. Sometimes we just have praise service about the ones he didn't answer, let alone having praise for the ones that he did answer. Praying God's will. And then also the second point is to pray the glory of God. Pray that those miracles and those answers and those victories that you are asking for will happen so that God will be glorified and magnified. And make that the first priority. It's not only all right, it's something that needs to happen. We need to put ourselves and others second on this. We do want people to find relief from sicknesses, and so we pray for that. Or we do want people to have provision, so we pray about that job or that insurance situation. But the first thing we must ask for is that God will be glorified and magnified. In other words, Lord, touch so-and-so, heal them, so that, number one, you would receive glory. Number two, so that they can better serve and live for you. And thirdly, so that they are relieved and so they have health improvement. Now, many times we see, because we're flesh, as we see as number one, that health improvement or that relief. And all of us, any of us who have ever been sick or had somebody close to us who is very, very sick, of course we want that. But the front porch to put on every prayer request, no matter what it's about, is, Lord, let this happen so that you would receive glory. And God tells us to pray his glory. In fact, this isn't on the list, but in John 14, where he's talking about great works and greater works a little bit earlier, in 14 of John and verse 13, he said, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. And then he tells us why. That the Father may be glorified. Not only so that we would have an answered prayer request and so that we would have our request answered and be healthier or have a provision, but he said, whatever you shall ask in my name, I'm going to do that. And the reason I'm doing that request is so that the Father gets glory and the Lord God is glorified. So we're praying the will of God and praying the glory of God. Thirdly, pray the scriptures. And after we've covered these first two points, praying the scripture, if we do that, that's going to assure us that we will be praying the will of God because this is the will of God. And it will always point us to the glory of God. So if we pray the scriptures, and now I'm talking about praying along those same lines and themes, but I'm actually talking about actually quoting or reading the scripture and then making it into a prayer also. Pray scriptures, if we're looking for the miraculous, pray scriptures that promise the miraculous and scriptures that build faith. Find, and I'm going to give a few of them tonight, and there are going to be many others. In fact, you might want to, on this lesson sheet later on, or as they come to your mind even tonight, add a few others down there. And pray it. Actually, if you're needing a miracle or praying a miracle for somebody, pray these scriptures. Pray them and claim them. Pray that those that promise the miraculous and those that build faith. Now, it doesn't take too much hunting to find scriptures that build faith, because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes from the Word of God. So this Word, just about anywhere you put your finger, is going to help us to build faith. For instance, Daniel 11:32 talks about the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. So, for example, you could pray, God, I am one of your people. Thank you for this promise of your strength and your power to do exploits. I receive that and claim that for my life. You know, he gave us this Bible to use. And it's not only for preachers, it is for us to preach from and teach from, but he wants us to use it in our daily lives. And one of the ways we can use it is literally use it as prayers, praying it. And you may not use the exact words that they're in the scripture, but pick up the theme of that and what it's pointing to and say, God, I receive that and claim that. Scripture in Mark that talked, Mark 16, that talk about the miraculous. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And they begin to list those signs. And here's how we could pray that. These signs are going to follow me, Lord, because I do believe in you. And I believe we need to claim these promises. It's all right to say, God, these signs are going to follow me because he promised it. Amen? And we should not be fearful to claim these things and say what we believe can happen by the authority of God's word. They shall lay hands, verse 18, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. God, I'm going to be able to lay hands on the sick and they are going to recover. This is praying the miraculous. And verse 20, they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. Amen. God, help us to go forth and proclaim and explain your word to others. And then, Lord, work with us and confirm your word. And I believe that you will confirm that with signs following. I believe we will pray that in a prayer. And then when we are called upon to lay hands on that sick person or we proclaim the gospel, God is going to confirm his word, this word and others, and he is going to give the signs to follow. It's just, he just wants us to pick up this tool and use it. And there are miracles in the waiting. Church, hear me right now. There are miracles in the waiting in your life. If you will pray for the miraculous and you will use the scripture and let the Lord confirm his word with signs following. John 14 and verse 12. Verily I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also. Folks, that promise is not just to great faith healers and great faith preachers, and we've got some among us, and I thank God for it, but that's for every believer. The works that I do shall he do also. That, he's talking to you and I. He's talking to you and I. Works that I do, you're going to do also, and greater works than these shall he do. So you can pray, Lord, I know that if I believe in you and your power, I will be able to see and to do and to experience those greater works that you promised. And verse 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, I will do it, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son. I know that whatever I shall ask in your name, you will do it, so that you and your name will receive glory. God wants us to pray the scriptures, and he wants us to live the scriptures into existence and into the reality. I pray, and I believe it is happening, and your life is a testimony of it, and the answers that we have are testimonies of it. But our Bible is not just for Sunday or Wednesday when there are sermons and when there are lessons. It's not even only for when we are in our devotions, but it's for the everyday, every moment existence of our life so that we can live out these things. And who knows when God wants to do a greater work, but whenever it is, we want to be ready and believing God for those things to be lived out in our life. And then pray as you pray for the miraculous and victory. Pray with faith and expectation. God wants us to have and to develop a mindset of accepting the miraculous and expecting the miraculous. As I check myself right now, and this is no license or excuse for me or for anybody to keep on praying this way, but I'll have to tell you that there have been many times that I've prayed a prayer and it was not with a mindset of expectation or acceptation. I prayed it because I felt sorry for my brother or sister, or I felt like it was a duty. But how things might change if we pray expecting God. When we pray for whatever the miracle is, whether it's a miracle healing of cancer, or whether it's a provisional need that is great, or one of those times when we said, this is going to take a miracle. But if we will just accept in our thinking what God's Word says about miracles, and if we will accept current testimonies of God. I just printed off, I just started with August, the first part of August, the reports that we have. And I've got 3 pages on this sheet, and it's just up through August, and we've already had some in September. Sister Jane Fenimore's daughter, early in August, a surgery was canceled after prayer was made that had already been set up. Sister Diane Sanders testified. She said, I've been a diabetic for at least 20 years, been on that medication during that time. Thursday, August 9th, she sent this. My doctor just took me off the medicine today because every report looks so good. Sister Tammy Payne was healed in one of our services here. Brother Jason Lindsay gave us the report. He brought in a request right during a service where we prayed for his niece, young Maddie. And prayer was made, and when she went down to the doctor, that large lump had shrunk and went from worst case to a very good and a very treatable situation and report. Brother Mike McGuire Sr. came up. It was the same night Sister Tammy was healed. Severe pains in his head, and he could barely make his way up to the front. But at the end of that service, he came up and he said, Pastor, after there was prayer, he said, that pain all went away. We do serve a miracle-working God. And that comes as a result of a mindset of accepting. And right now, what you're doing is what it takes to have the miraculous. Accepting and celebrating and worshiping and clapping and thanking God and praising God for the miracles that have been done. A couple of weeks ago up in Mattoon, I have a video that I want you to see right now. Brother Jerry Dean from Louisiana was ministering in a service there. And he placed this out on media. I saw it on Twitter. He placed this testimony. A little baby that had been born blind was prayed for in that service. And God did a wonderful work. Guys, will you show that video of that little child?
Oh, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
Hey, Jerry, get a picture.
I'm getting a video. I got a picture.
Look at his eyeballs. His eyeballs are
there. Look what the Lord has done.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Those little eyes are following that rattle. Thank God. Now, there's a still pic of the first time he sees his mama. Praise God. Woo, isn't that precious? Thank God he's a healer of the blinded eyes. Praise God. I want to present to you. Do you accept that tonight? Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. And I feel it. I feel it. Not from you. But I feel it in my own mind. All kind of doubt trying to climb up on the top ledge of the shelf of my mind, saying, well, this or well, that. But I'm going to tell you, blind Bartimaeus got healed, and he's the same God today. He healed the leper then. He will heal a leprous or a cancerous condition now. He can take away the cancer. He can cleanse. He can heal. We accept it, Lord. We accept it. And I want to do my best as leader of this church, but I want to ask you now, when we come into services like this, let's come with a mindset of expectation. God, you can heal tonight. You can take care of a provisional, you can take care of a relational or relationship situation, a mindset of expectation for what God can do. Will we have a healing line every service? No, we probably won't. But God doesn't need a healing line to heal. I believe we need to act in faith and make room for the miraculous. And you all did it a few weeks ago. I was gone, but I was watching. And at the end of the service, Brother McGuire called for an altar call, and people came up, and people were healed in that service. We just come with a mindset of expectation. I know what to expect by the schedule. Songs and pastor teaches, or the Bible teacher teaches, and then we close out and say amen. And thank God for Bible teaching, and if that's the will of the Lord, that's what He wants. But we need to come expecting God. God, you can work. You can heal me sitting in this pew. You can answer my request right while the songs are going on. You can help and you can heal right while the message is going forth. You're a healer, God. Would you praise Him right now? I want us to feel after the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, yes. You're able, God. You're able, God. You're able, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. A few years ago, I was having some severe pain in my knee. It was a damaged meniscus, they said. And I couldn't hardly walk without some kind of pain, and was limping. And so I was watching a message from one of the conferences down in Mississippi. And as the man of God, Brother Arnold, happened to be preaching that service, and as he was preaching, I had my kickback chair, and I had my legs straight out, and I had the computer sitting right here. It was sitting on both knees. And it was this one that was bothering me, and I just had that sitting there, and I was watching that service and listening to the Word of God, and there was faith and the Word of God. I want to tell you, there's power in the Word of God. There's power. There's power in the Word of God. And all of a sudden, I felt a little twitch in that knee, and I'm going to tell you, I didn't start watching that video with a mindset of expectation for healing. Really, I guess I was just kind of passing time. But God can take the passing of time, and He can take His word, and there must have been some kind of faith in here somewhere. I know I'd been asking before, but God can take an ask in the morning and link it up with a word in the afternoon and produce the healing power that He and He only has. If you need a healing, or if your family member needs a healing, or your loved one needs a healing, God's able tonight. Woo! A mindset of expectation, expecting the miraculous. I think it ought to be on our lips. I think it ought to be something. I know it should be. It's not a matter of what I believe. It's what the Bible says. Talking about the miraculous. We don't believe in ordering God around and telling Him when and how to do miracles. But I think, on the other hand, we can talk about God in a positive way and say, you know what, He's able. And He wants to do it. And He is able to do it. And we need folks to feel sorry for us. We need folks to help feel our pain. But somewhere there's got to be a word that says, you know, God can take care of that. I'm praying for you. And I'm praying for the glory of God. And I'm praying the will of God. And I'm praying for your relief. And when we get in agreement with God and His word and His will, we can expect great things to happen. Live like it can happen. Talk like it can happen. Pray like it can happen. I don't know. Isn't it so easy just to talk negative? Man, and talk about, I mean, it's real. There are the aches and pains. There are the problems. It's not about saying they're not there. But we've got a great God. And he said, think on these things, whatever things are of good report. That pain's not a good report. Think on the healing power of God. Meditate on the word of God and the promises of God and the love of God, accepting the fact there are miracles and believing and expecting God to perform and to work in our lives. And miracle-producing faith will always involve fasting. Amen. Fasting has always been a normal part of a relationship with God. I instruct and encourage you, somehow incorporate some form of fasting into your lifestyle. It's a normal part. It's not an additive. It's not something that people that are extra spiritual do. It's part of a normal lifestyle. Now, Pastor, you were doing pretty good a while ago. You're making us feel good now. You're making us feel hungry. But miracle-producing faith will always involve fasting. Jesus said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And so to be a release point of the miraculous, fasting will be a part of our lifestyle and a necessity of our lifestyle. One preacher said, somebody ought to write a book on fasting that's called Nothing, The Breakfast of Champions. You look in Scripture and those men and women and you hear tales and stories of men and women who had great miraculous things, but it didn't just happen. They did pay a price. They believed the will and the word of God. When we pray, we attach ourselves to God and his miraculous power. And when we fast, we detach ourselves from this world. Prayer is when we reach out after the unseen, and fasting is letting go of what we can see. They're both, they work together. God put that dynamic in this spiritual life. And we know we need more of God and less of earth, because miraculous power doesn't come from this world, it comes from that world. And that's why when we pray, we're attaching ourselves to that power. But when we fast, we're letting go of this world, denying ourselves and putting ourselves in a position, and it humbles us and it submits us so that God can work through us. Because it's I don't care how many years you've fasted, it's not easy to fast. I wish I could tell you my most recent fast was just, man, it's nothing, been doing it for 40 years. God strike me dead if I said that. I'd be lying. But it's not supposed to be easy on the flesh, because that's what we're denying. That's what we're letting go of. Letting go of things and saying, God, I want you, I want to empty myself of myself, and I want you to fill me, Lord. And I don't know all of why the Lord chose it, but he just chose that method of no food and doing without fasting to be a part of this spiritual dynamic. Next, pray and live in righteousness in order for the miracles to happen. The book of James, and James the apostle gave us some insight and instruction in James 5:16. He said in the last part of that verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Now, there's a reason he said it that way. And here's the reason. God will pay special attention to the prayers of a person who is living right. Now, that's not to say that God does not hear or respond to those who are living otherwise and living unrighteous. But he said it this way because God pays particular attention to the person who is living right and the prayers of that person. This verse specifically tells us the prayer of a righteous person is effective. There's no doubt God will respond when we live right. Living otherwise leaves doubt as to whether or not prayer will avail much, whether God will respond with the miraculous. What this does, and as we pray for the miraculous, it'll do something else for us. Not only will it bring the miraculous, but it will help us to examine and check our life. If we want the miraculous, and that's only one reason to live right. Another is just because we love him, and then, of course, because we want to be ready. But we need to examine and check our life. And it could be, in some cases, that if there has not been the miraculous, this isn't the truth in every case, but it could be the case here because he says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much, or in other words, makes much available. And so living righteously, when you and I do that, you will make more available for your own life and for the lives of others. In the same verse, verse 16 of James 5, he says, he's instructing us to pray with a passion, a heartfelt. And I don't think this is only talking about, I know it's not just talking about how loud we pray or how fast we pray, but rather it's talking about a heartfelt, heart-meant prayer. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Those words, effectual, fervent, are words that we get our word energy from. In other words, pray with activity or efficiency. Pray mightily. Pray to work. One definition is to show forth the inner self. In other words, be expressive to God. Not necessarily to others, but it doesn't hurt to pray out loud, and we know that. So pray with heartfelt, heart-meant prayers. The way to see the miraculous is to pray with the effectual, fervent prayer of passion. And then pray with power and authority. Power and authority. You know, Jesus did miracles in many different ways. One time he took mud and put it on a man's eyes. And he had made that out of spitting on the ground and taking the mud. Now, I don't know how many folks would take that kind of miracle. But if you're a blind man, if you're desperate enough, and if you trust Jesus enough, you take the miracle as he gives it. There are times he just spoke a word. All kind of things. One time he put his fingers in the guy's ears that couldn't hear. So he wasn't giving us some kind of technique. It was just how it flowed out. But here's what he did give us. Not a technique, but he gave us power and authority. In Luke 9 and 1, when Jesus called the 12 together, he gave them what? Not techniques. He gave them power and authority. The word power there is dunamis, which means force. Like power, like we usually mean it. Power to do something. Power. So his power comes and obliterates that cancer. His power comes and changes the mind of somebody that's making a decision that needs to go in our favor. Power. But authority there is not the same word. It's a different one, exousia, which means permission. He gives us permission. It's kind of like the power of attorney that we have, where we can sign papers in the stead of somebody. That's what Jesus gave to those disciples and us. He gives us power, yes, the dunamis, the strength, His Spirit behind us, but He also gives us the permission. We have the authority and the permission to cast out devils. We have His permission, and we can act in His stead to speak to a sickness. We could speak to a storm. He did that. And He said, I'm giving you this authority. And He told them, He named a few of the things to drive out demons and to heal and cure diseases. And then He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He said, you have permission. You have the authority. You have the power of attorney. And He has given that not just to the disciples. He has given that to every believer in His church. Every one of us in here tonight that believe the Lord have His power and His authority. And that power and that authority is in the name of Jesus. Pray the name when you're praying for the miraculous. It's not in our name, but it's in His name. Pray the name of the Lord Jesus. And then lastly, when we're praying for the miraculous, pray with agreement. The making of a miracle calls for agreement or unity. The agreement is agreement with God and agreeing with His word. God, I read this morning, and my brother or my sister or my family member has this need, and I agree with Your word that You're the healer of all our diseases. I agree with Your word that we'll pray, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I agree, whatever the need is, just agree with God's purpose, God's will, His word. And then it's about agreement with one another. God has, you can have solo miracles. You can have solo answers to prayer. That does happen. But God has also said, I want you to agree with one another. If two or three of you agree touching any one thing, it shall be done for them by my Father in heaven. So find another believer, a partner of faith that increases and enhances our faith. You know, Paul said in Romans, he said, I want us to be comforted together by the mutual faith, both of you and me. When there is a mutual faith, there is a comforting and there is a strengthening, and we are mutually encouraged when we have, and haven't we experienced that? We've experienced that when we get a brother or sister. There's been times, many times, when we've had to pray alone and there wasn't anybody else around, or we just felt directed to prayer. But there are often times, and it's in services like this one, where we can agree together, or we can call somebody or text somebody or email somebody, say, will you agree with me in prayer? And that is an agreement that is biblical and that has the authority and the sanction of God as we agree together. How many of you have some kind of a need tonight that you would just want to express it by the uplifted hand? There's some kind of a need. I want to ask us just to put this part of the lesson in practice. Would you stand together? And I want you to find somebody to agree with you about that need. You can tell them what it is, or it's not necessary to tell them what it is. But first of all, we're agreeing with God. But then we're going to agree with one another about the situation. And it can be two of you or three of you or more of you together. But we're going to fulfill God's will and fulfill His word. So if you have a need, okay, and I'm going to be kind about this, but if you have a need and you're here tonight, agree with somebody tonight. Don't call later. Now's the time. Agree now and then call later. And we'll agree. The thing is, we've got to move out and step out into God's word and into His will. Let's agree together right now in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I pray your will. I pray your word, oh God. Hallelujah. I pray with a faith and a trust. I trust you, God. You know what's best. We want what you want in these situations, God. We want what you want in these situations, Lord. God, and help us to sense and to feel the burden of our brothers and sisters. It may not be weighing upon us or happening to us right now, but we still love one another, and we're going to agree with you and with one another. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord. That's right. We can also pray with thanksgiving and praise. Let your requests be made known with thanksgiving. Oh Lord, we thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you have done. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord, you're glorified. I thank you for what you're doing out of this prayer. I thank you for what you're doing through these requests that have just been submitted to you by your people in faith. I thank you for what you have done. God, you're going to do the unexpected. You're going to do the impossible. Yes, you will, God, because that's the kind of power that you have. And you love us, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for that love. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. What a good God we have. And when he answers, share it with us, will you? Share it with your brothers and sisters and then send it into the office or write it down and we're going to add more pages. Thank you for your prayers for our sister church, the Sanctuary. Pray for that church family and the Dugas family as well. And as you know, that service for the Dugas is Friday morning. And then thank you for the prayers for the Black family. I'm going to say a little bit more about this weekend. I know that there are several at APC now who probably never met Sister Black or did not sit under their ministry or leadership. But I'm going to ask everybody that can at all on Tuesday to come to pay your respect, if nothing more, out of the heritage that we enjoy. We're reaping in a vineyard that these kind of people planted. And of course, for prayers. And I know that what we do will mean a whole lot for family members, especially during this time. And Brother Terry has expressed thanks over and over again already for what this church has done, both through the years and in the offer to host these services. And I just personally feel like it's an honor to do what we're going to do on Tuesday. God bless you for your faithfulness to the Lord. Greet one another. Let's have a great, remember Friday night is not America's Got Talent, but something, talent, unspoken talent, yeah.